Please turn with me to Acts chapter 3. On Monday, Sandra was busy and I had Jarvis for the morning. And we needed some fruit and veg. So I took Jarvis shopping with me. We needed to get some stuff for the week coming up. And Sandra said, there's a good fruit and veg shop at Churnside Shopping Centre. I think is it Churnside Park or Churnside Shopping Centre? And we went down there. Put Jarvis in the car, went down to Churnside. I didn't know Churnside that well. I've only been there maybe two times in the past, so I didn't quite know where to park. I ended up parking the furthest point away from the fruit shop I could. But it was nice. It was just lovely because Jarvis, when he's around different places and different people, he just grabs my little finger or my finger. And we just walked through a shopping centre. It was just lovely, just that connection. And it was just one of those joys. And then we got to the fruit and veg shop. I finally found it as we had to go through all this maze of places to get to where the fruit and veg shop was. And I realised I haven't got a trolley. So I had to go outside again and find a trolley and put Jarvis in the trolley, give him his food. I left home about 10. It was about 11 o'clock at this point in time. And finally doing the fruit and veg shop. And we did that and then going out of the shopping centre. And you know when you go out of a shopping centre, you've got these tables set up where people are selling things right in the place where you're walking, in the foyer or in the walkways. And so I was coming back with a trolley full of fruit and veg with Jarvis in the trolley as well. And one of these tables, and I usually interact with some of these tables, but this one was selling perfume. I didn't want perfume. But this man was quite adamant I needed some perfume. So I just said, no thanks, that's fine. And as I was walking away, he was still talking to me. And he said, I've got some male perfume for you. He give it a go. Just try this once. And so he sprayed something on a card, I think, and I smelt it, and it didn't smell very male. And he asked me, what do I do? And I really don't like people asking that question, what do I do? I don't like answering it. So I just find it difficult. So I said, I'm a full-time dad today. And so he, what does your wife do? Oh, no. She's a full-time mum. Well, what do you do? And then I had to tell him, I'm a pastor. So I said that, and he still tried to sell me things. I don't know if I said church pastor or pastor. So, well, I've once said pastor to someone, and someone went back to me and said, I don't like Italian. And it took me a while to get what he was saying. But he wanted a label. He wanted to attach me to something. What do I do, a pastor? I didn't buy any perfume. I thanked him. It's quite a difficult job, selling on the walkways in shopping centres. So I wished him well, wished him a good day, and went on, and took Jarvis back in the car. So he wanted to know what I was, just to attach something to me, a category. Also this week, I found out that something's happening on August 9, which I didn't know anything about. Does anyone know what's happening on August the 9th? Census night. That missed me completely. I don't know why. Someone said something about a census coming up in August, and I thought, what census? Maybe it's something to do with our mail being redirected and hasn't got to us yet. But anyway, if you don't know, there's a census on August 9th. And usually in a census, there's various questions you fill out. And one of them is about your faith or your religion. You've got all these questions about where you might be that night and what you're doing. And there's various options to choose from. And one of them is your faith or religion. And you could put in something you want to choose yourself, or you can have these probably drop-down options. I think it's an online census this year. So, another category. People like to know these labels. What are you? A pastor. what do you believe in? What do you have faith in? Oh, I'm a Christian and part of this church, or I don't believe anything, or categories and labels. I get questions like this, and I often, like if you're approached at the supermarket or you're asked on a census, that you feel like you're sort of put into this category. And then, like a Christian or a pastor, or I have faith in God. And I feel a bit uneasy, because when the guy asked me at the shopping centre, what do you do? And I said, a pastor. I came after the conversation, I was thinking, oh, did I scowl at him? Was I a nice person? Was I what a pastor should be? Or when you fill out the form on the census, you say, a Christian, and you might label the denomination or the category. And then I have these questions in the back of my head. Oh, was I a good Christian today? Was I a Christian today? Because I wasn't yesterday. And so we have all these categories that we either put on ourselves, or these labels that other people put on ourselves. And we start evaluating ourselves based on those labels. Thankfully, the biblical notion of faith, or the label you could call faith, or of being a Christian, goes past that label, goes past that category. In fact, the biblical notion of faith doesn't come down to the person who's wearing that label. It doesn't come down to the performance of the one carrying that faith. Acts 3. This is a story of Peter and John. This is after the day of Pentecost. And Peter is walking to the temple for the daily prayers. Acts 3, verse 1. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer. At 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now, can you imagine that? People are coming to the temple, as they do every day. They walk past this guy. They've been walking past him for years and years. He's almost part of the furniture. And for him, it was a good place to be, because if you go into the temple, you're thinking about loving God. And the corollary to that is loving your neighbour. So here he was, a fellow human being who is crippled, asking for money. So it was a good place for him to be, to get a few shekels. But something astonishing happened. He was no longer sitting at the gate, this lame man, this cripple, but he was got up, he started walking and jumping. And imagine the people at the temple, in the courts. Here was this healthy man who was once crippled. And so the crowds are thinking, what is going on? What's happened? They were at a loss to explain what was happening. Who did this? What's happened? And why? And how? So Peter, seizing on this opportunity, gives an account of what went on. And he gives a sermon of sorts. Now, when I read this next part, notice what Peter says. Peter, he would have that label of being a Christian. He would be in the category of having faith in Christ. But notice how he deals with that category and that label. Verse 11. While the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "People of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man who you see and now was made strong, it is in Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see." I found that Sandra and I have differences when driving, and it's been a clear day, and then you suddenly get a sprinkle of rain or a mist on the windscreen. You know, when you happen that, it's not quite a downpour, it's just a mist or a sprinkle on the windscreen. And the mist starts to collect, and it gets to the point when you have to wipe the windscreen. Now, I'm perfectly fine at driving 100 kilometres an hour and seeing blobs, monster blobs of cars coming towards me with mist all over the windscreen, because I'm waiting for the perfect time for the mist or the rain to get wet enough so that when I do the first wiper blade wipe, it's clean. Otherwise, you're just smearing dust and dirt everywhere. Is that right? I can go for about 5 minutes just with not being able to see properly. Sandra, on the other hand, correctly, she would act much quicker before the vision impairment starts to make things dangerous. But I'm just waiting for the right moisture content to make sure there's enough wet to make sure I can do have a clean windscreen. But Sandra's right. The object of a windscreen or the object of a window is not to stare at it. The object of a windscreen or a window is to what? Look through it. The object of a window is to look through and look beyond what's in front of you. That's what windows do. We don't put windows in our houses, in our cars, in order to look at the window. We put windows in our houses and cars in order to see through the window, to look beyond it, to see beyond something. Now, you've got stained glass windows, that's another thing, but I'll get back to that. Notice what Peter says in Acts 3, verse 12. When Peter saw this, he said to them, this is the people, wondering what's going on, "People of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk?" Why do you stare at us? We're the ones who are Christians. We're the ones who have faith in Christ. But why do you look at us? Why do you, other translations say, gaze at us? Why do you look intently at us? Peter is saying that we have faith in Christ, yes, but don't look at us. Look at the one we have faith in. Look to the one where the power resides, which is Jesus Christ. And if I can push the word, what Peter's saying further, Peter is saying that faith is like a windscreen, like a window. We don't stare at the window. We don't stare at someone else's faith. We look past it to whom the object we have faith in, or the person to whom we have faith in. So you could say faith, in Peter's case, in John's case, in this lame man's case, or in our case, is like a window. We have faith in order not for the attention to be on us, but in order for the attention to be on the one to whom we have faith in. And this faith has little to do with us. Notice what Peter does. Don't stare at us. Don't look at us. Look at where this faith comes from, where this power resides, which is in Jesus Christ. Don't look at what we've done. It has everything to do with Christ and who Christ is. And likewise, when you look at a window, you can't see much. I imagine the crowd at the temple couldn't see much in Peter and John. But he's saying, and he's talking about this biblical notion of faith. The biblical notion of faith is not up to the holder of the faith or the one who has faith. What is important is the one to whom the faith points. The vista we see through the eyes of faith to Christ. And we get a few of these stories happening in Acts 14. Paul and Barnabas are in Lystra and they heal a man who's also crippled and they start worshipping him. And Paul and Barnabas get quite upset and just tear their clothes and say, "No, no, don't look at us. We're come here with faith in Christ in order for you to look at the one we have faith in." Tom Wright, the biblical historian, says, "Faith in the Bible is always determined by its object. What matters is not so much the faith itself as what it is faith in. Faith is like a window. It's not there because we happen to want one wall of the room to be made of glass. It is there for the sake of what we can see through it." Well, what do we see if we have faith in Christ? What do we want people to see if we have faith in Christ, if we believe in God? Well, Peter goes on. And we read this in Acts, in the verses I read out, that this Jesus, the Christ of Nazareth, is a continuity of God's promise, of God's story through Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. This is not something that's happened out of the blue. This is a continuity of what's been going on through the ages with God's plan with his people, culminating in Jesus. Peter has faith in this Christ. Peter wants people to see that vista, that this is where their history, that history is going somewhere. Peter also calls Christ the Holy and Righteous One, the author of life, the one who is crucified, killed, but God raised him from the dead. Again, we have faith, but it's not because of the label we have, it's because of the one we have faith in, the author of life. The one who reveals who God is, who reveals God's very nature, that God came to, in humble circumstances, to the point of death in order to show his heart and how he comes to us. That's what we see through this window of faith. Verse 15 says, Peter says, he's witnesses. He's a witness. So he's not having the focus on himself. He's a witness to this great story of Christ. And he says, "I do this power, this man was healed in the name of Jesus," meaning a person's personality, their character, their reputation. So faith in Christ doesn't put the focus on the one whom has the faith, but it sees through to this great vista of Jesus Christ who reveals who God is. I wonder how strong the faith of the crippled man was, if you can use the word strong. Maybe Peter had a strong faith. He spent years with Jesus. He was a disciple. He witnessed the crucifixion, the resurrection. He was with Jesus, apart from that time when he denied him, but Jesus restored him again. So Peter, you imagine, have this very strong faith, you could say. But the crippled man, well, how much of Jesus did he know? probably heard a few stories of going around the traps. Maybe he knew a bit little, but he said, okay, I'll give this thing a go. I'll get up and walk, when Peter told him to get up and walk. But faith, if it's like a window, it doesn't matter how thick the glass is, the object is to see through the window and see what the faith is looking towards. The strength is in the one to whom the faith sees, not the faith itself. William Barclay says, so as long as a Christian thinks only of what he can do and be, there can be nothing but failure and frustration and fear. But when he thinks of not I, but Christ in me, there can be nothing but peace and power. So you see what Peter is doing here. He's saying that this, if we have this label of faith or belief or this category of disciple that Peter was, it's the biblical notion of it is not a label determining the person. It's looking at Christ to whom we have faith in. And this helps me as we go into this time of the census where we put ourselves down in the category of Christian or pastor or whatever categories or labels that people may want to put on us. We can feel uneasy about it if we see these things as labels. And yet, if we see this biblical notion of faith as a window, that the faith actually points to Christ, the one to whom we have faith in, the one we claim to represent, then we look past ourselves. It's not up to us. The one I have faith in identifies and defines who I am. I don't identify and define who Christ is. And so we're more likely to relax. It's not up to us. It's up to Christ, most importantly. And yes, you know, the other part of this, if you have a window, light does come in. And so the light of Christ's life does shine on us, transform us and change us. But it's not up to us to make the light shine. I won't go into that any further. That's for another time, another place. But I'd like to invite Phil up now. And I must apologise, Phil. I rang him up during the week to say what I'm going to talk about. And I rang him up again Friday and I changed all my sermon plans and everything. So I'm sorry for the stress I caused, Phil, and all those injuries, headaches I caused you during the week.